California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed his final state budget as governor, a $351.7 billion plan that raises some business and health care taxes while pushing the state's reserves to nearly $29 billion.
I just signed my final budget as governor of California on time, balanced, and structurally sound. Not just this year, but through June of 2028. For the next 2 years, California will have a $0 deficit. We're leaving the state in good hands for the next governor.
Among other things, the deal softens deep Medi-Cal cuts Newsom had proposed earlier this year. It delays a shift of roughly 2 million immigrant enrollees, most undocumented, to a fee-for-service system until January of 2027, preserving benefits like case management and housing assistance for now. Coverage limits for about 150,000 refugees and asylum seekers are also pushed back a year. The budget preserves the in-home supportive services program for about 900,000 low-income Californians and sets a less restrictive asset test for Medi-Cal eligibility among seniors and people with disabilities than Newsom initially wanted. To help pay for it, the state reworked a tax on health providers to comply with new federal rules under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. That requires California to also raise taxes on private health plans, which the insurance industry warns could push up premiums. On education, the budget increases special education funding by $2.4 billion and adds nearly 23,000 child care slots after lawmakers rejected Newsom's proposed cuts. It also withholds $3.9 billion in K-12 funding that's guaranteed by the 1988 Prop 98 as a budget cushion. David Goldberg, president of the California Teachers Association, said the move is short-sighted and that his group may challenge it in court.
The main thing we always have to remember is that California is the fourth largest economy in the world, not the fourth largest state economy. But if we were our own nation, we would be the fourth largest economy. So withholding constitutionally guaranteed money for public education, or frankly money from any social services, is unacceptable. And it's just another case of really balancing the budgets on the backs of working people, on students, on families, and educators. And it's something that our union and educators across the state are going to continue to always stand up and always try to fight.
The budget also quietly eliminated $5.5 million in funding for Compass, an online research database used by California's 10,000 public schools, effective July of 2027. State librarians say they had no advance notice of the cut, which strips students of free access to resources like Encyclopedia Britannica, The New York Times, PBS videos, and scientific journals. Individual schools would pay more than $216 million annually to replace those materials on their own, a cost lower-income districts are unlikely to absorb. Newsom's office said recent K-12 funding increases should cover the gap, but librarians call the loss catastrophic, warning it will deepen disparities between wealthier and poorer schools. Newsom also won a restructuring of California's elected school chief position, shifting most authority away from the elected California State Superintendent of Public Instruction to a new education commissioner appointed by the governor, a change some educators and Democratic senators criticized as undemocratic. Goldberg noted that California voters had just voted for a new superintendent in last month's primary.
To kind of unilaterally in Sacramento, along with unfortunately a complicit legislature, remove the ability of parents and students and community members to elect the superintendent of public instruction is completely undemocratic. Four times in the history of our state, they've tried to remove this position and make it a non-elected position, and each time the voters of California have said no. So doing this now makes no sense, and it takes away the voices of people closest to education, including students and families and educators.
Meanwhile, counties will get $900 million for homelessness programs, nearly double what Newsom proposed, and $200 million to verify eligibility for health and food benefits under new federal requirements. Newsom credited an unexpected tax windfall tied partly to the AI sector's stock market gains with helping to close the deficit without broad new taxes. He argued that the budget he'd signed was a victory for the state's fundamental principles.
For 40 years in this country, we've been told that government can't deliver, that public investments don't work, that progressive ideas never pencil out. Well, California, with all due respect, is proof that all that's wrong. We did it here, and we can do it everywhere. We did the math. We did the work. We did the big things. And so to every other state across our country, to Washington, D.C., to anyone who's been told that responsibility and ambition, they can't share the same balance sheet, come to California. Look at the numbers.
Republicans, however, criticized the process and the state's long-term outlook. Speaking ahead of the budget vote last month, Republican State Assembly member David Tangipa said the proposed budget was full of Democratic priorities that would raise costs and taxes for state residents.
This budget is a clear reflection of the majority's values. If you're a hardworking Californian or a small business owner, your taxes are going up. If you pay for private health insurance, your premiums are going up. If you run a business and use QuickBooks, Microsoft 365, Adobe, or any digital tools, your costs are going up. If you're an employer, your payroll taxes are going up.
The nonpartisan legislative analyst office confirms the budget still leaves a projected $8 billion structural deficit ahead, although that's down from as much as $30 billion. Voters will also decide in November whether to expand the state's rainy day fund to help future governors avoid deep cuts during lean years.